We're going to read together the Word of God in Psalm 71, please. The Psalm 71, reading from the opening verse. Psalm 71 and verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine iniquities speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Ending our reading here at verse 14, may the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to the public reading of his word. Let us unite our hearts together again in prayer as we come to the preaching of the gospel. Our gracious God, we bow again in thy most holy presence, and we know that it pleases thee through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know, Lord, that thou art the one who has the words of eternal life. And like Peter, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the ends of the earth. We have this confidence that thou art able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by thee. And so we pray that the way will be clear and plain, and none will err as to what they must do to be saved. Oh, give to us utterance, we pray. Touch the feeble, fumbling lips of clay, and put thy living word upon those clay lips. And Lord, we pray that the entrance of thy word will bring light, and it will give life, life eternal, to souls that are perishing. Hear our prayer, and work among us, and magnify thy name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the verse 5 of Psalm 71, David is able to say, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Today, life is replete with a great variety of gadgets. We live with numerous advantages over our ancestors. We press a few numbers on the phone pad, and we can talk to friends all around the world. Indeed, we can see them on our computer screens and talk with them, as it were, face to face. We click the computer mouse, and our email goes to that distant land in less time than it takes to read it. The shelves in the shops are bulging with every commodity imaginable to make our lives pleasant, easy, labor-free. Despite all the benefits of life in the 21st century, we are told that society this evening is in meltdown. The fabric of society is unraveling. Visit the city centers. Watch the throngs of people rushing past. Anxiety, care, worry is etched on so many countenances. When you read the papers, listen to the daily news reports, it is very evident that many people live aimless lives. They live without direction, without purpose or hope. So much around us in this world is uncertain. It is unsure. Hopelessness, we see it on every hand. David, of course, had so many cares. He was surrounded by numerous enemies, bitter, unrelenting foes. We see in verse 4 that he had cause to pray, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." In all of those trials that came his way, David had hope. His was not a hopeless existence. He had a sure, a certain hope in the Lord. Have you? Is there someone present and you have no hope regards eternity, regards the salvation of your precious soul? And you say, "Who will show me any good?" Oh, you can be like David. If you will flee to Christ for refuge, for the salvation of your soul, then you will be able to say with David, "Thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust." As we come to this text this evening, let us consider first of all the absence of hope. What an alarming thing it is to be without hope. Doesn't the bottom fall out of the person's world when the doctor shakes his head and declares there's no hope? And if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are without hope. Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus and reminded them of how it was with them in their unconverted years. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Here is how he put it. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Job, at one point, he lamented and said, my days are spent without hope. Is that true of yourself? Without Christ and without hope, those two statements are inseparable. It follows, if you have no knowledge of Jesus Christ, of his saving grace, you have no hope. There is an absolute and entire absence of spiritual, eternal hope. But maybe you object, saying, my hope is built on my posterity. Don't you know that I have a wonderful family heritage, a wonderful family tree? My ancestors were God-fearing people, church people. I come from a religious background, and therefore I confidently hope that everything will be well with me. We know that the Jews built their hope on the fact that they had Abraham as their father. Reasoning with the Lord in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 39, they answered the Lord, they said unto him, Abraham is our father. Oh, they put great store in the fact that they were Abraham's descendants. The blood of the patriarch, it ran in their veins. And they built great, great hope on that reality. But salvation, John 1 and verse 13, when it speaks of the sons, the children of God, it says they were born not of blood, not of the family blood. It cannot atone for sin. It is the blood of another, the blood of our kinsman redeemer, that makes atonement for the soul. Maybe others will say, my hope is built on my prosperity. Job was a very well-to-do man. He had great riches. And in Job chapter 31 and verses 24 and 5, he mentions his riches, his wealth. Job 31, verse 24. He says, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much. We can see that Job had accumulated great riches, but he did not make gold. Even the most fine gold, he did not make it his hope or trust in his riches. Didn't the Lord teach that it is hard for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And those who listened to that teaching, they said among themselves, they asked, who then can be saved? But money, silver nor gold, it cannot purchase or buy salvation. Money can do so many things. It can bring you to many places. But heaven is not one of them. Peter, writing to those believers scattered abroad, persecuted, he reminded them in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. He said, "You have been redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." For others, their hope is in the parading of their own goodness. They take a leaf out of the Pharisee's book and they say with him, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. I am not as bad as that other person. I have a better standing than others." We remember the parable of the marriage feast, and a man was found there among the guests without the necessary, the required wedding garment. Oh, that man was free from moral spot. None of the guests pointed the finger or raked up scandal about him. The thing to note about that man was this: he was without the wedding garment, that picture of the garment of salvation. And as a consequence, he was bound hand and foot and cast out into outer darkness. Didn't the Lord teach, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter heaven"? Where can you and I find such a perfect righteousness? Only in the gospel, where the very righteousness of God through Christ is placed in the account of all who are saved by grace. Oh, these are groundless, empty hopes. They are broken reeds. They are Satan's plan, his strategy to leave your soul in peril of the wrath to come. In Job chapter 8 and verse 14, we read of some whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Is your hope like a spider's web? The web is that flimsy thing. One swish of the brush, one blast of wind, and the web is gone. Is your hope of that kind? In Isaiah chapter 29 and the verse 8, we read about the man in his dream, and he dreamt that a lovely meal was set before him, a choice meal, but it was only a dream. And when he awoke, he was as famished, more famished than ever before. There's another man mentioned in the verse, and in his dream, he thirsted, and water, a drink, was set before him. But when he awoke, he was faint. He was as dehydrated and more than ever before. There was no reality it was only a dream. Oh, that you would awaken from your dream and face the reality that there is an entire absence of hope for your Christless soul perishing in your sinful condition. But secondly, we think of the author of hope. The religions of the world are void of solid hope. We have the pessimism of Buddhism, the fatalism of Mohammedanism. We have the hopelessness of Romanism, its adherents forever paying to get the soul out of purgatory. George H. Morrison, the Scottish preacher, he said, in its radiant quality of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it stands alone. David tells us here in our text that his hope is in the Lord God. Paul, writing to the believers in the church at Colossae, he can say to them in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. These people, these believers, their hope is in the truth of the gospel, in the sacrifice of the cross, in the shed blood of the Lamb. Sin has shut the door to heaven against us, even as it excluded Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. But the Lord, the sinless one, our sins were laid on him. They were put in his account, born to the tree. And there the Lord Jesus paid the price. And by the sufferings, the penal sufferings of his cross, he purchased our pardon. This is the record, John tells us, that God hath given us life, and this life is in his Son. Paul, introducing his first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 and 1, he writes, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He includes himself. The Lord is my hope. Paul, who thought himself blameless before God's holy law, the day came when he saw just how far short he fell. And he looked out of himself, away to Christ, away from his own works, to the finished work of the cross. David, he prays here in verse 2 in Psalm 71, deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. In the strict context, he prays to be saved from his enemies. You and I need to be saved from our sins. And we often sing, we believe Jesus saves. Oh, he saves from the eternal punishment which we rightly deserve. He saves us from perishing in hell. Christ is the author of the gospel hope. Will you leave the matter of your soul in abeyance? Will you leave it to chance? Hope is only valid when it is based on the Scriptures. The Scriptures set the Lord before you as the Savior you need. Peter said in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A moment or two ago we were singing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. But what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with him? We come then in the third place to the appropriation of hope. There is a sure hope in the gospel, but it must be appropriated. It must be laid hold of. It's clear that David has appropriated the gospel hope. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust. His trust is in the Lord. David is telling us, I'm depending on the Lord. He's my shepherd, my Savior. Those believers in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, there Paul speaks of the hope which has come unto you. These people personally trusted. They came to the Lord and were wonderfully saved. Well, how did they come? They came the way we all must come, by repentance. The Lord declares, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There must be repentance. There must be a giving up, a breaking off with sin, and a turning with your whole heart to the Savior. How do we come? By repentance, by faith. Paul, preaching in Acts chapter 13 in Antioch, verses 38 and 9, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe, all that trust, are justified from all things. You have heard the gospel. Oh, that you would make the Lord your trust. Faith has been the meaning, and the thrust of the word has been spelt out, taking each of the letters, forsaking all, I trust him. Oh, that you would do that this very night. C.H. Spurgeon was due to preach in Crystal Palace in London. And the day before the meeting was convened, he went along to try out the acoustics in the great auditorium. Spurgeon stood there and repeated John 1 and verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And a workman doing some last-minute repairs, he heard the gospel words. He heard that text. Seemingly, the words came from nowhere, but as an arrow, they pierced his heart and his conscience. They changed his life and his whole eternity. David says in our text that he has made the Lord his trust from his youth. And it's a wonderful time to come to the Savior in one's youth. Remember now your Creator in the days of thy youth. I was 17 years of age when the Lord drew me to himself. And I not only received salvation and the lively hope of the glorious gospel, but I received a foundation for my whole life. I was brought to the fountain of life. O young person, oh, that this night you would turn from this world's vanity fair and make the gospel your trust. Build on the rock, Christ Jesus. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And our last thought is the assurance of hope. The gospel hope is not pie in the sky. It is not groundless optimism. There's a ring of sweet assurance in all that David has to say about the Lord and his trust in him. You will notice in verses 3 and 4 the phrases that David uses when he speaks of the Lord as my strong habitation, my rock, my fortress, my God. Oh, he is not living in doubting castle. And neither was Paul when he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, Paul can say, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is within the veil. So we are seeing that the gospel hope is to the soul what the anchor is to the ship. The ship will ride out the storm when its anchor is fastened to the rock. And when the soul is anchored fast in Christ, the rock of our salvation, then it will never perish. Then it will never be lost. Oh, can you say, I have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Michael Faraday was a fine Christian. He was also the renowned scientist who discovered electricity. As his life ebbed away, journalists gathered around and they questioned him as to his speculations for a life after death. And Michael Faraday responded, he said, speculations. I know nothing about speculations. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I shall live also. The gospel, it brings to our hearts the eternal, the lively hope. Colossians 1 and verse 27 spells it out when it says, Christ in you, the hope. The meaning is the guarantee of glory. This assurance, make it yours. Come as you are, in all your destitution and spiritual want and need. We remember that the Lord Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. Sinners like you and me. And he's calling you. He's calling you. Calling on you to repent and to believe the gospel. And John 1 and verse 12 declares, as many as received him, to them give he power or the right or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe, that trust in his name. Oh, that you would come. Come to an end of your godless ways. Come to an end of this world's vanity fair. Oh, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. And then this eternal hope will be yours, and it will be well with your soul. May the Lord bless his word to every heart. We will join in singing the hymn number 241. The hymn number 241, please. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. And if there's someone in this service tonight, and you're so anxious, young person, you're anxious about your soul, and we pray that this very night you will come just as you are, waiting not to rid your soul of one dark blot. To the Lamb of God, whose blood can cleanse each spot, may you come. And if we can be of help to you, we're here your servant for the Savior's sake. Speak to the Christian you're with in the service. Do not go away as you came, but go away in Christ. 241. Let us stand as we sing. Lord, we know that thou hast the words of pardon. Thou canst speak to the soul, saying, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thou art the only one who has power on earth to forgive sins. Thou art the one who will abundantly pardon, who will blot out our sin, remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. Oh, we pray that none will tramp underfoot the precious blood, but all will make the Lord their trust, and then all heaven will rejoice. May there be those who will be in time, for we know it is too late in the great eternity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Give deciding grace. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, the blessing that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.